Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
Inspiration, motivation, and education. Welcome to the Razor Sharp Show, Deep Dive Edition. Stay tuned as we invite action takers onto the show to share their experience and insights on topics critical to your business success. And now, here's your host, Matt Romania.
Hello and welcome to a deep dive edition of the Razor Sharp Show. As always, appreciate you tuning in. Today's special guest is Sharon Taylor, CEO at Omni Studio. Sharon, welcome to the Razor Sharp Show.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me, especially on a deep dive. I feel honoured.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm excited to explore the current state of podcasting with you. But before we get into that and the current podcasting landscape, can you tell our listeners a little bit about Omni Studio and how it came to be?
Yeah, sure. Well, for those that don't know Omni Studio at all, in a nutshell and in simplest terms, we are a podcast host. And so we host many podcasts, yours included, I suppose we should probably disclose.
Yes.
And in our more complicated form, we're a full audio management system. So we do everything from simple audio hosting for podcasting. We put a layer of tools over the top for like sharing and publishing. And we do a lot of work with radio as well. Where we came out of actually was more on the consumer side of things. Many, many, many years ago now, one of our founders wanted to create personalized radio because he wanted to, I guess, have a personalized experience on the way into work every day. And so we built an app called Omni Radio, which pulled in spoken word content. It, you know, used speech-to-text technology to do calendar reminders and Facebook reminders, migrated like Spotify libraries across. Fortunately, what we found at the time was that the prevalence of short-form content just wasn't there. Mm. So in taking it to a couple of radio networks around the traps, we, I guess, got the idea for building Omni Studio, which really captured the live stream going out of radio stations and to repurpose it. And all at the time with this magical aim to kind of get more content into the app to bolster this personalized kind of experience. One thing led to another, and as it always does in startup land, you do a few pivots and then you turn into what you were meant to be in the early days, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I love that. And yeah, that's very much seems to be the way of it. More and more people are starting to consume podcasts because it's exactly that. They get to pick and choose what topics they want to listen to, who they want to listen to, when and where. And yeah. I did want to get your views, you know, on the current state of podcasting in Australia specifically. How do you see the current state, and like what's exciting you at the moment?
I think what's exciting me, I mean, look, I think all of us that are in the podcasting ecosystem get excited by similar things. So you only need to speak to another person that listens to podcasts or podcasts themselves and to watch their eyes light up, and you get, I had an amazing conversation last night with someone actually, and we ended up realizing that we were being quite loud in the restaurant because we had gotten so passionate and so worked up about like all of the shows we were listening to. So I think there's, in Australia especially, there's like an air of excitement around it. People say that we're, you know, so many years behind the United States, and it's true. Edison Research just released their latest report. They did an infinite dial report for Australian audio, and they found out that I think around the traps, it's around 70 to 75% of adults 12 plus are aware of the term of podcasting now in Australia, which is interesting because that's more than the US. So at the moment, the US is hovering around 60% awareness, but our listening is lower in Australia. So our monthly listening is around, I think it's around 18%. It might be a little bit lower, it might be about 17%. So we're behind the US in terms of how many people are listening, but our awareness of it, like we have so many people, I guess, that are just running around and telling their friends, and people are starting to hear this, you know, term podcasting, and it's getting more and more traction.
Yeah, that's it. I'm glad you brought up the comparison with the US as well, because often, you know, with technology, we're kind of following them, but it's really interesting to hear that awareness is greater in Australia. And that hearing that makes sense to me, because even when I'm listening to, you know, the radio in my car, the presenters are often talking about, you know, the podcast editions of their show, and, you know, there's a lot of promotion around podcasting, and the terminology, you know, seems to be just increasing in use just in mainstream media as well, which is awesome, because, you know, it lifts us little guys up as well.
Yeah, it's just such a powerful medium. Like, I just, the passion and the strength of podcasting, and I think that Australian radio has really latched onto that. And instead of, you know, trying to just repurpose entire shows, I think they're actually starting to play with formats and realizing that podcasting can be, you know, bite-sized content behind the scenes of certain shows, or, you know, it's not just catch-up, it's additional programming. It's interesting. I mean, you watch what the two big networks at the moment here in Australia are doing, and they're kind of building up their own podcasting ecosystems themselves. Like, so Nova obviously is partnered with Acast, Southern Cross Austereo partnered with Podcast One, and it's these two, you know, giants in radio that are taking it so seriously. So what's that saying about a rising tide and all boats?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that all of us are in these boats at the moment, and it can only be a good thing.
Yeah, awesome. So, for the business owner listening, our audience is predominantly made up of business owners. Why do you think they should consider starting a podcast? What benefits have you seen come from podcasting?
I think there's probably two angles in terms of benefits to businesses. Obviously, the first one that comes to mind with most people when they start thinking about companies entering the podcast space is creating some branded content. And so, you know, you look at companies, I'll try and find Australian examples, but the only ones coming to mind at the moment are American, sorry. Yeah. But you look at, you know, like GE, and you look at Tinder, and they're amplifying their brand, and they're strengthening, and they're kind of communicating to new, younger markets that potentially, you know, didn't know about them before. I mean, everyone knew about Tinder, but they're really reaching further, I suppose, than they were. And podcasting is just like any other digital medium or any other advertising or marketing medium or any kind of communication strategy. It just, it allows them to play in a field perhaps they weren't playing before, if that makes sense. Mm. And then obviously the other side of things for companies is to become almost like thought leaders. So we're seeing lots of companies start their own podcasts, sometimes for internal communication, which I find a little curious. But also like out to the world. So a lot of, you know, business consultants firing up their own podcasts, doing their own interviews with other kind of thought leaders. And it's really a value add. And it's really, again, about reaching people that perhaps they weren't reaching before. And it's a great medium to do so.
And on that note, obviously, you speak with a lot of podcasters quite a bit. So I'm interested in your advice for getting started, and if you had to narrow it down to, you know, one or two main tips to focus on during those early stages, like what would it be, or what would they be?
I think the first one that comes to mind, and it might just be because I've been listening to Claire Tonti's latest podcast, is just start. Like, just make the thing, is what she says.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people, you know, you can hum and ha, and I'm not saying jump in without, you know, making sure it's a quality podcast. Like, you've got to have the right tool set, you've got to have the audio, and you've got to have, you know, the right show format and an idea that's kind of unique in some way. But just start, just kind of jump in and get going with it, really. Figure out what it is that you want to talk about, find a way to talk about it, you know, record a first few episodes, know and accept that you're not going to be, you know, Ira Glass right off the bat, and then keep refining, get feedback, as vicious feedback as you can from family and friends that can be brutally honest with you, and really, really make the thing as well as you can.
Yeah, completely agree with the just getting started state of mind. That's something we had to do, and you know, our first few episodes weren't as polished, but it was a matter of doing it and learning and developing those skills as we were going, because you could, you know, sit down and read, you know, 100 books on podcasting and, you know, watch YouTube videos all day long. But until you yourself actually gives it a go, you don't know what you can improve on and you know, what what can come from it. So I really like that advice to just get started. And something we hear quite a bit for people who want to launch a podcast, but they're delaying it, is often they put up a barrier like, oh, I don't have the right microphone, or I'd never have the time, or that sort of thing. Are they sort of, the main hurdles that you hear from people that need to be, you know, they need to overcome before they can start?
I see a lot of those. There's so many podcastic chat groups now, you know, and every now and then I delve into them, like there's Facebook, et cetera, and dedicated channels. And there's a lot of inquiries like that. There are a lot of people that are like, oh, which is the best microphone? Which is, you know, the best, you know, such and such? And do I need a mixer? And do I need all these bits and pieces? And I am of the opinion, and I probably shouldn't say this because we're a tech company, but the tech is, you know, the easy part. What you really need to put some time into, like you said, is go out and ingest as many podcasts that you think that you want to emulate as you can. Figure out what it is that works for you. Like, figure out your niche. Like, what is it that, like, why are you podcasting? And what is it going to be that makes someone listen to you as opposed to someone else? Like, at the moment, Australians listen to around 6 podcasts a week, for those of us that are listening. And you've obviously got some power users, and you've got those of us that, oh gosh, are so woefully behind on all the episodes of things that I should be listening to. But you need to stand out. You need to have, you know, something that makes you unique. So I think that's where you need to invest most of your time and effort. I don't know if you find that as well, but I think that the content is important. The audio quality, definitely important, but the content, the idea behind it and why you're doing it is crucial.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. In terms of the content, I like, you know, telling people, well, you know, before you launch, listen to a few of your favorite podcasts and work out why they're your favorite. Is it the format? Is it the type of questions? Like, there must be a reason why you enjoy listening to it, and kind of pick and choose your favorite aspects of podcast episodes and use that as a template, being, you know, well and truly inspired by what other people are doing. And I just think that there's a reason why you like the podcasts, not to say to rip off their format, but there will be elements that resonate with you that you can, you know, make your own and integrate into your episode. And so that's not listening to, you know, 100 episodes and writing down, you know, endless notes about them. It's more while you're listening to them, think with the creator's mindset, not so much the listener now, like focus on what the host is doing instead of the guest, if it's an interview style, and see what trends they do throughout all of their episodes. And you'll be surprised what comes out of that and what structures you can see, and that'll really kind of guide your show structure if you know you're starting from scratch. But at the same time, we say don't spend too long on that. And yes, it's important to get a good microphone, but you don't need to have the very, very best. And yeah, you don't probably need 5 people to validate that you've made the right microphone choice.
Correct.
And you can always, you know, we kind of set out when we hit 50 episodes, we would reward ourselves with, you know, a microphone upgrade. So that's kind of the way we looked at it. So
that's cool.
Yeah, slightly improving, you know, as we go along. But yeah, definitely don't make technology a starting point. And I guess because we're talking about episodes specifically, what do you think are the key elements to a good podcast episode? What do you enjoy listening to, Sharon?
I have a very, I guess, smattered, for lack of a better term, approach to what I listen to. So I love a good comedy podcast. Mm-hmm. I like a format where there's information being presented, but, you know, it might be 2 or 3 people that, you know, can riff on the side about it. I like to learn but laugh, I suppose. Otherwise, interview formats, I'm listening a lot to NPR's Upfront at the moment with news format. I like the way they intersperse kind of music and they move from small segment to small segment, which I think is really powerful. What else? I mean, what else have I listened to recently? I'm so far behind most of them. I'm listening a lot to Claire Tonti's Just Make the Thing. I just think it can be different depending on which podcast it is. I think also, given that your listeners and your, you know, user base, really, they're more business-oriented, they've got to look at what their own listeners want. Like, it's all very good and well kind of going, okay, well, I like X, Y, and Z format, and you know, you have to be comfortable with what you're doing for sure. But you also need to think about what it is that those people in your target market are wanting to listen to and how they want to receive it. Like, there's no point in doing, you know, a 40-minute interview style show every week if your audience is so time poor that all they need is like a 5-minute catch-up podcast on, you know, the latest financial tips and tricks, perhaps, and perhaps that's your value add as a business. So I think that's probably an element to it as well that we shouldn't gloss over.
Yeah, that's a great point, that understanding your audience as well. Yeah, you can't leave that out. And
correct.
Yeah,
and everyone's tastes are so different. I forwarded my most favorite podcast in the world to someone the other day and was almost heartbroken when they said they didn't like it.
Oh, I've had that feeling. It is crushing. It is really devastating.
It really is. Yep. You know, you just question everything. You're like, why didn't you like it? No, we can get past this. It's fine. We'll mend this.
Yeah, we can get through this. Never spoken to that person again. No.
Correct. They're dead to me.
Yeah, but on the other side, when you suggest a podcast to someone and then they come back to you the next day or whenever and they're absolutely hooked and they say, oh, I've had to download and listen to the, you know, 5 episodes straight and went through a really binge because of your suggestion, that's the flip side and a very nice feeling. So.
Yeah. It's fascinating how we curate the suggestions as well. Like, I'm very particular about, oh, this is a great podcast. Make sure you listen to this episode first, then this one, then that one, because you know what's going to get them hooked. Almost, it's almost like a dealer of some kind. It's really bad.
Yeah, agency. That is an interesting point. I do the same, and I haven't thought about it until you brought it up, is that, I normally say this podcast, and then pick probably 3 episodes, and they're not, like, in order, and they're not any particular reason. And why they're in that order. That's just my preference of how they should listen to them, which is super interesting. And it must come down to, there's something about those episodes that is shareable. That's a really interesting point, probably, worth giving some more thinking time to. But, I did want to ask you as well, in terms of, presenting an episode and, whether it's an interview style or monologue or, the episodes with, smaller segments and music in between. Mm-hmm. What have you seen, like, what makes an engaging podcast host?
I feel like I'm going to talk out of like a management textbook here, but the only word that comes to mind is someone that's really authentic. Like, I think the listener, because it's such a personal experience, they're listening, we're in their ears, with headphones. No one really is listening to them, en masse, like you would with music. And I think you can tell straight away if someone is being genuine or not. And if, they're feeling like they're putting on like a role, professional interviewer versus just themselves.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing that smacks me in the face first when I listen to podcasts, is I know I'm listening to this person as they truly are, or if they're, forcing it a little bit. So just, it's hard to be comfortable, but I think that's, again, the beauty of podcasting, is that you can do your pilot episodes and, you can send it to family and friends and get some feedback, get comfortable behind the mic, any mic at all, until you get to episode 50 and then treat yourself. yep. But yeah, I think that's probably the thing that stands out to me.
Yeah, awesome. And do you think, and I want to kind of bring the conversation back around to Omni as well as, a platform and, a podcast host. And I wanted to get your insights on, like, the best process for someone to publish an episode. So I'm happy for you to take this question wherever you want to take it, but I'm conscious that a lot of people might be okay with recording an interview and then having the audio file on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is, what are the next steps for them to get it online?
Sure. Well, I mean, look, you can, I guess I shouldn't say this. I hope none of my, other coworkers are listening, but the hosts, like, there's so many of us, like, in terms of podcast hosting, and in my mind it really comes down to what it is that you're looking for, and I guess the feature set you're in need of, because there definitely are those hosts out there that just, host the file, allow you to put it into, iTunes and Android and do all the different bits and pieces that you need to. Sure that there's construction going on somewhere in this building by the sounds of that. But let me think about this now that I've lost my train of thought as I talk to construction crews. we're all relatively similar. Like, I think where Omni Studio stands out for me is the feature set that comes after you upload. So, I mean, there's a school of thought in podcasting at the moment that discovery is a problem, right? So there's 400,000 podcasts in the Apple Store. There's a great quote that someone, I've forgotten who said it, but they say that the iTunes library for podcasting is like walking into an actual library, but all the books have been taken off the shelves and thrown onto the floor. And so you know that there's some good stuff in there, but how do you find it? Yes. And with shows that, you know, do paid advertising to get their stuff into, you know, into the top of the New and Noteworthy, or, you know, like to get some quite large listening jumps early on, how do you, as someone that, you know, is just kind of plugging away with the first few episodes, how do you get there? And so for us, social sharing is really important. So we have a set of tools that allow you to, you know, publish to Facebook with some engaging kind of visualized audio videos, you know, Twitter. It's about expanding your reach and finding your listeners, maybe with bite-sized, like little clips and teaser trailers of the podcast, and then push them back for the full episodes that are being hosted, you know, with Apple and Google. So I think that, I mean, for a lot of people, it comes down to a lot of other factors, right? Like it comes down to where that hosting company is located, you know, what technology they're using. Most of us use, you know, pro servers like Amazon. There are a couple that use like home-based servers. I'd probably be a bit wary of those personally. And yeah, whether it is something that you need is more like a simple, or if you're ready to take that podcast to the next level, how you're going to do that, how you're going to build your audience, and what tool set comes with the host as part of that.
Ooh, and I wouldn't mind diving into that. Like we spoke a little bit about, or you spoke a little bit about understanding your audience in the initial stages and the importance of that. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, how should a podcaster go about, broadening their listener reach and audience engagement, you know, when, you know, they might have launched and they've, you know, got their family and friends listening. But so obviously social sharing is a big aspect. What are some kind of other, you know, priorities that they should, you know, action in an attempt to broaden their reach?
Sure. I think a core part of it is also to be consistent. So if you want to maintain and grow an audience, you need to have a consistent kind of like production quality, a length to your podcast, a frequency, and audio quality as well, I suppose, because if you are going to go the step to grow your audience, you want to be pushing like a quality product, I suppose. And that consistency allows you to grow an audience because they know what to expect. Like your podcast is a brand, really. And so I think that's really important to know first. And once you have those basics down, look, it's about, there's so many different places you could do it. Yeah. For us, it's Facebook. I mean, Instagram is starting to play around with audio a little bit. You know, YouTube has been really powerful for some podcasters that I know to grow their audience, depending on the genre that your podcast is in, right? Because YouTube indexes things really well. So the searching, so if you've got like a superhero podcast, for instance, and people are looking for the latest review of Spider-Man, then that's going to become easy for them to find on YouTube and probably in iTunes where the search is a little bit limited. People are still listening on social media. People, like, distribute it anywhere you can. Put it into Stitcher, you know, put it into, you know, Pocket Cast. Get it in all these apps that you can. But figure out where your listeners are listening. If you are a business podcast as well, like what we've seen people do is use the audio MPEGs that we provide. And then what they do is they write a small little feature article about whatever it is they were interviewing people. And then they get that content distributed on, you know, industry publications and websites, and then put the audio little teaser in there as well, and then again grow the audience that way. So I think it's about finding where you think people are going to be looking for the information. I think people do it the wrong way around. They go, okay, where do people listen to audio, and they put their podcast there. You should be doing is going, where is it that people that want to hear about, you know, the latest architectural advancement, you know, in Peru, as a really weird example that came to mind, like where is it that they're going, and how do I get some content there, put up like a bit of audio to my podcast and link people back. And that's how you build, you know, you've got to find fish where the fishes are. Is that what they're saying?
That is an awesome tip, and I think I've got some work to do after this interview because I've written it down. And I think just going out there and seeing where your potential audience are hanging out, not in the audio space, to kind of reel them in, to stay on the fish analogy, I guess. I think that's just a powerful tip. And I like how you said about submitting, you know, your podcast to, you know, a variety of places. So even though iTunes obviously brings in a lot of traffic, that you're just not relying on one source of traffic. I think that's a really good point as well.
I agree. Yeah, definitely. Like you have to, like, look, iTunes is, you know, 60 to 80% of the traffic at the moment. They're definitely the lion's share. But there are a lot of people out there that, you know, perhaps don't have iPhones or don't know what that little icon is. and they're still, you know, they're still reading blogs online. They're still, you know, digesting news articles, et cetera. So if you can, you know, be there and teach them and at the same time bring another listener to the podcast world, well, that's a two for one in my opinion.
Awesome. And so when I wanted to get your insight on advertising, and it's not something we've done on the Razor Sharp Show. A few people that we've helped launch a podcast have done a bit of advertising. So I wanted to get your expertise on when should someone consider advertising for a podcast? And I guess to take it back, how does advertising on a podcast even work?
Sure. I mean, there's two main ways that you can advertise at the moment. One is obviously, I think I mentioned it earlier, getting a branded content, so getting a sponsor for the podcast. And it obviously has to align to what it is that your listeners are looking for and what your podcast is about. So you can't just, you know, go out and get like a Loot Crate sponsorship when, you know, your target market is, you know, professionals 40 to 55 years old. So I don't think they're really going to sync up. There has to be a return for both parties. And then most people just do live reads. So you as the host, that would, you know, get a sponsor, you know, that, you know, caters, I guess, appeals to your listeners. And then negotiate that with them, and then your listeners would start hearing, you know, this podcast is brought to you by X, Y, and Z. The other way to do it is it's called dynamic ad insertion, and there's a couple of like levels to it. You can do like just programmatic ads, which basically just says there's a piece of tech that you say, look, I'll put a random ad at the beginning and end of my podcast, or in the middle for a mid-roll marker. And do some ads that way. And there's levels to the ads and how curated they can be, I suppose. People are very much in a rush to monetize their podcast because they want it to become their job, right? I mean, everyone's dream is to quit a 9-to-5, you know, and start doing something they're really passionate about. We generally recommend that until you're seeing at least about 1,500 downloads per episode, and that's consistent, let's say you're releasing an episode every week, you really, the monetization shouldn't be your focus. It should be growing your audience. There's no point in kind of making a few dollars when there's work to be done as opposed to build that audience really strongly. And then once people get past, you know, the 10, 12,000 download mark, that's when the doors really start opening in terms of, you know, large-scale sponsorships. So I don't want to – I probably dissuaded people a lot, haven't I? That was actually quite – those are some lofty numbers. But that's really where the industry is going at the moment. And I think it's important for people to go into podcasting with their eyes open. Like, it is becoming harder and harder to make shows that, you know, again, using that library analogy with the books on the floor. So think about who you want to target, why you're targeting them, why you're creating the podcast, and then I think the advertising dollars come more naturally because you're able to find advertisement or sponsors that appeal to those people that you've built up as a listener base.
Yeah, absolutely. Our kind of thing is, you know, if you want to launch a podcast because you want to make some money, then don't bother. Our thing is podcast is a great tool, you know, a great way to amplify what you're already doing. And to build new connections and build new collaborations. But if your sole goal is to make money, I don't know if that's going to happen for you.
No. And especially as a business, like you'd hope that the revenue stream of businesses are not reliant on 10,000 downloads of your podcast, right? Like it's definitely, for me, I would see it more as like a value add and, you know, engaging with your client base or your customer base, you know, in a way that is appealing to them. Because people are smart. People know if you're just doing it to sell them something. And I think, you know, that's when you lose them.
And you did mention download numbers in there. I wouldn't mind tackling a big question before, you know, as we near the end of today's episode.
Sure.
Like, as we podcast, what should we be measuring and how?
I think you should measure everything. that's someone that we feel very, very strongly about measurement here. So I think at the minimum, you need to find a host that gives you your download numbers and an accurate download count as well. You need to find, you know, someone that can give you at least an estimated podcast subscriber number. We do that by pinging like the unique IPs that go to the RSS feed of your podcast. It's not an exact science, but at least it gives you an idea as time goes on. You want to be able to look at it like at an episode basis, a program level, and then even like if you are a massive, you know, organization, you've got like 10 different podcasts going on, to see how those things are performing in comparison to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in a dream world, you'd find a podcast host that gives you something that we call consumption, and you can actually see when people are starting to drop off from your content. So you can, I guess, start tailoring the content a little bit more. You can see, okay, well, I'm losing people, you know, every time I bring up this particular segment, so maybe this segment is not the right segment to show. This will all become a lot easier for podcasters now because Apple is opening the door to this this data. So podcasters will be able to see consumption from Apple, which is going to be very exciting and I'm sure very nerve-wracking to a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. Exciting and nervous times ahead.
Yes, correct. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting a few months ahead for a lot of people. So now is a great time to be getting into podcasting, especially given this data is going to be so readily available.
Yeah.
Because right from day one, anyone that creates a podcast, you'll be able to see how people are interacting with it. And it's not just about the advertising dollars and proving an ad was read, but it's really about, okay, I want to make the best content possible. How do I do that? Well, I need to know what people like and what they don't like.
Exactly. And I think that's a great solid note to end on. And Sharon, it's been really wonderful to get your insight into the podcasting industry and you know, a few things about best practice. You know, thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for letting me waffle on about podcasting, which I do often love to do.
Until next time, stay sharp.
The Razor Sharp Show is brought to you by Podcast Launch Co. Podcasting tips, tools, and coaching. Visit www.podcastlaunch.co.